The discussion of mental health care in the United States is a lot more focused on rural areas as time goes by, because over time, a need becomes clearer. Suicide rates tend to run higher in rural areas, and we've spent some time this year talking about the trends and the responses. Our region is mostly rural, so the people are spread pretty thin, and so are the programs that might help them. Oregon Institute of Technology, OIT, or Oregon Tech, depending upon whom you ask, is adding to its offerings to address mental health care away from cities. New this year is a master's degree program in medical family therapy. Our guest is Kevin Garrett, OIT Assistant Professor and Clinical Director of the Marriage and Family Therapy Program. And he recently wrote an op-ed along with his colleague, Dr. Kathleen Adams, about mental health care needs in rural areas. Kevin Garrett, thanks for joining us on The Exchange today.
Thanks, Jeff. Appreciate the opportunity.
So we have talked about this, as I mentioned in the intro here, through several segments here in The Exchange. The issue of rural suicides is well established. Do we know the reasons?
Absolutely. Well, some of the research supports the fact that there are multiple factors at play here, including distance, social isolation, access to providers, qualified providers, just that stigma really that surrounds mental health and receiving mental health treatment, especially in rural areas, as well as the opioid epidemic.
And so the opioid epidemic is part of this too? I mean, that you have greater problems keeping a handle on that because of the distance to facilities?
Absolutely, sure, and access to treatment. Mm-hmm.
So where are the trends going, particularly with rural suicide?
Unfortunately, they continue to increase. A lot of the research shows that, especially between urban and rural areas, that rural suicides continue to increase, and there's a larger gap there due to those reasons that we talked about just a little while ago, to those multiple factors.
So there's a real sense of self-reliance, it sounds like, for people who live out in the country. I mean, you need that sense of self-reliance, I guess, to survive if you're going to live miles and miles from neighbors and that sort of thing. But does that work against, therefore, people seeking help?
Well, and that's an interesting question. I thought a lot about that. I think that a lot of our farmers and those who live in rural areas, are truly rugged individualists. And, it's important to be able to pull yourselves up by the bootstraps, or that's oftentimes the thought there, which is important. But oftentimes that can stand in the way of saying, you know what, I think I'm struggling here. I think I'm struggling with depression, or I think I have an alcohol and or opioid or drug problem that I need help for. And so I need to reach out to someone else. I need to reach out to another party for help with this.
That op-ed I mentioned at the top with that you and Kathleen Adams wrote, it appeared in the Oregon Business Journal and some other publications, provides some startling statistics about how hard it can be to even find help when people seek it. Tell us about that.
Sure. Well, oftentimes, again, going back to what I mentioned earlier, that oftentimes there's just that social isolation, distance. Folks in rural areas, according to research, tend to not have health care. And so oftentimes those things do, in fact, prevent them from being able to seek out those services. Also, just being able to, having your vehicle seen if there is a mental health facility, even if there is a mental health facility there in the county or where you live in a rural area, you don't want people that you know in small communities driving by and seeing your vehicle in the parking lot, for example.
Oh, you did say vehicle. Okay, this really is about somebody spotting your pickup truck and saying, hey, Bob's at the mental health joint.
Absolutely. Absolutely. That's a huge part of that stigma. Mm-hmm.
Wow. So, and you and Kathleen Adams mentioned professional shortage areas. I mean, how far apart are some of these places we're talking about? How medically underserved are they?
Absolutely. Well, I'm not sure if I can necessarily talk about specific numbers, but I can talk with you about some of the counties. So, for example, in doing some research, so it's called a health professional shortage area, which is a lack of health care professionals that are available in that area in proportion to the population. Curry, Josephine, Jackson, Klamath, and Lake Counties, for example, are all underserved areas, according to HRSA, which is the Health Resources and Services Administration. Also, Modoc County and Siskiyou County in Northern California are also both very underserved counties. So in proportion to the people who live in those counties, there are very few healthcare professionals, including mental health professionals, who work in those particular areas.
And did you say Jackson was part of that that collection too?
That is correct.
Okay.
Jackson is also included in that.
Mm-hmm. So pretty much every county in southwestern Oregon south of Douglas County.
Correct.
All right. So we have visited with OHSU and Sky Lakes in Klamath Falls about their joint efforts in medical training and clinical care. That's for the body. And I wonder if OIT's efforts in mental health have any relation to that effort.
Absolutely. So let me just talk a little bit about something, if I may clarify. So actually, our master's program here at Oregon Institute of Technology in Klamath Falls, our master's degree is actually in marriage and family therapy. Mm-hmm. But we have embedded within the curriculum what's called medical family therapy, which is a subspecialty of marriage and family therapy. And that's really, that operates on the assumption, really, that health and relationship problems are biological, psychological, and social, and even spiritual in nature. So it recognizes that, you know, oftentimes in the past, doctors, biomedicine has focused on, you know, treating the patient, treating the biomedical needs of the patient, basically treating the patient below the head, if you will. And mental health professionals, marriage and family therapists, typically in the past have treated, you know, patients above the head with their mental and emotional needs. And so medical family therapy is really about helping to bridge those two worlds and helping really to focus on treating the whole patient. So a medical family therapist oftentimes is co-located, if possible, in a primary care facility in a hospital setting. For example, I completed my doctoral internship, my PhD internship at the University of Nebraska Medical Center, where I work very closely with doctors, and they would refer their patients to me. But basically, you're treating the whole patient, and you're recognizing that they're more than just their biomedical needs, and they're more than just their medical needs, and their emotional and mental needs. And so it's just treating that whole person. And also, medical family therapy also focuses on, you know, the fact that individuals don't live in vacuums, that individuals live within the context of families, live within the context of communities, cultures and subcultures, and also trying to involve family members and those with whom they choose to live in their treatment. So you're not just helping the patient, because it's not just the patient who's affected by an illness or a medical condition. It's oftentimes those who also live with and interact with that patient.
Is that a similar process, including the family members, to what would be done for anybody who lived pretty much anywhere? I mean, is it not just for rural people, I guess, is the question?
Absolutely, sure. So medical family therapy, of course, would include urban areas. So when I did my doctoral internship I mentioned earlier, that was in Omaha, Nebraska, in a large urban area. But we would also treat the couple, the partner of the patient. We would also treat the family along with the patient. Absolutely. So in marriage and family therapy, we just don't view that individual, you know, isolated and in a vacuum. We want to also help treat the whole family system or the people with whom they interact and with whom they live.
Dr. Kevin Garrett is our guest on the Jefferson Exchange, assistant professor at OIT, clinical director of the Marriage and Family Therapy Program. We're talking about the new subset, the Medical Family Therapy Program. You can join the conversation on the Exchange as we talk about rural mental health care and the needs thereof and the addressing of it through this program. 800-838-3760 by phone. Our email address is jx@jeffnet.org. When you were talking, Kevin, about including the whole patient, I wonder how much of this comes out of changes in approaches to paying for health care through the Affordable Care Act, Obamacare, where we're talking about rolling the mental health services in there as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. There is a movement working towards this and really seeing that need that exists, especially, and I want to talk a little bit more about that stigma that exists out there, especially in more rural areas. Individuals, a lot of research really shows this, that most individuals will go to their primary care provider, their physician assistant, maybe even a nurse practitioner, whatever whom they get their primary care health needs met. They will usually go to these folks for their mental health needs because there just isn't that stigma that exists. Now, if a medical family therapist is co-located working with a medical provider, people are more apt to be able to get the care that they need, especially if they trust their care provider, which normally they do, and their care provider says, hey, we happen to have someone here who might be able to help you with the fact that you're feeling depressed, you know, or with, we have someone here who might be able to help you with some of your relationship problems, because you mentioned that, you know, in your intimate relationship with your partner that you're having some difficulties, which could be exacerbating your depression. So we have a person here on staff. In fact, I'd like you to introduce them. And so they would provide a warm handoff. And that's one of those ways to kind of break down one of those barriers that exists out there for folks living in rural areas to really be able to receive mental health treatment.
So two benefits here and on both ends of the transaction. Number one, if the MD is at the limits of her or his experience, there's a person there to pick up the slack. And also that issue we talked about with somebody spotting your pickup truck in the parking lot, you can just say, hey, look, my ribs were sore.
Exactly, correct.
So let's talk about the medical subset here within the marriage and family therapy program and some of the additional skills we're talking about here. What kinds of additional courses or skills does the medical family therapy program add to what's already in MFT?
Sure, that's a great question. So a big part of that is really talking more about medical culture, you know, and recognizing that as a marriage and family therapist, as a medical family therapist, you're going to need to, first of all, accept the fact that you're not going to get paid as much as your colleagues who are doctors. I like what one book I read on medical family therapy. They talk about the fact that, you know, you might need to be okay with driving up in your Volkswagen and your colleague, the doctor, the MD or the DO, pulls up and they're driving their Mercedes-Benz or their BMW. Another important thing to really talk about is just some of the medical terminology, as well as some of more of the general medical terms, just being familiar with specific chronic and terminal illnesses, how those affect patients, the etiology of those, you know, so that when you go in to work with doctors, you can speak that same language.
So it sounds like it's a familiarity, but not necessarily an expertise. We're not talking about medical family therapists being able to write prescriptions, for example.
Correct. Absolutely. And then I did think of another thought, Jeff. Another important part of this too is also the focus in our program, in our marriage and family therapy program as well, which is part of the medical family therapy component, is also just talking about rural mental health, because it is very different than urban mental health, and recognizing those barriers and ways that we can try to break those down so that people who desperately need care and treatment, who are suffering, oftentimes very silently, so that they can get that care that they deserve, get that treatment that they need.
You know, it's interesting as I think about the ongoing presence of an urban-rural divide in America, but, you know, people in cities just don't understand what people in the country go through, and often vice versa. And so are decisions about programs often made in urban areas where they don't have situations like exist in rural areas, in healthcare, in mental health care in particular?
That's a great question. I'm not sure if I can answer that completely. In my opinion, I think that is true. Our program specifically is tailored towards rural community, rural health, rural mental health care, and the specific challenges and needs that are present and those things that are needed here, especially in Southern Oregon and Northern California. In fact, our program, what we really try to do is we're trying to fill that need as it is a shortage area, health professional shortage area. And so that's one thing that we're also trying to do is fill a big need that's here in Southern Oregon and Northern California.
The need we're talking about, of course, is for mental health professionals in rural areas. Kevin Garrett is Assistant Professor and Clinical Director of the Marriage and Family Therapy Program at Oregon Institute of Technology, OIT, and talking about its subset now, the Medical Family Therapy Program, new this fall. Join the discussion on the exchange. You might have questions, you might have comments, you might have issues you need to bring up for us. 800-838-3760 by phone, by email, jx@jeffnet.org. So are the students this fall the first enrolled in the program? You actually having classes in the medical family therapy subset already?
We do, absolutely. In fact, right now, our third cohort or third group of students has started this fall, and our first group will be graduating this spring.
Okay, how long a program is it?
It's a three-year program. It's a three-year program. And it's a wonderful program. It goes right along with the mission of Oregon Tech, which is a hands-on applied education. So our students will oftentimes get out in the community. They'll interact with the Klamath tribes. They'll interact. I've actually taken them over to OHSU across the street here from the campus, and met with doctors, sat in on a meeting where patient care was discussed. So we really have that hands-on applied focus. Also, in the third year of the program, students will complete a practicum or internship experience where they will be out in the community at various approved practicum sites, at community mental health sites, and private practice sites here in the community, being able to get their clinical experience.
Well, and that's a big question for me is how you get that clinical experience for people, because this is an important thing they're going to be doing is trying to tell people who are depressed, you know, there are things we can do to help you, and you don't have to think about suicide anymore. And this is some heavy stuff. So how much training does anybody get in practice counseling or side by side with an experienced counselor sessions before they get to deal with the person one on one?
That's a great question. That varies dependent upon the site where the student is located. Depending upon each site has a specific practicum site supervisor who oversees the work of the student and helps them. And when that site supervisor feels like the student is ready to go out on their own, if you will, at that particular site, then they're allowed to do that. But of course, they continue to get supervision from me. They continue to get supervision from their practicum site supervisor there on site. Also in our program to prepare students to actually start working at a practicum site during their last year. So it's the last four quarters of our program is where students are actually at a practicum site. But prior to that experience within our program, students are also doing what the program director here, Dr. Kathleen Adams, calls real plays as opposed to role plays. So real plays are very realistic scenarios where you're actually working with other students and practicing and honing those therapy skills that you're going to need when you actually start meeting with real clients or patients.
So you have a long time, it sounds like, to have some training wheels on, in essence.
Absolutely.
And then are there people who decide, you know what, I want to help people, but I don't want to help them like this. This is something that drags me down, too. I mean, I just wonder if people do leave the program for that reason.
I mean, that does happen sometimes. Luckily, I think it happens earlier in the program, but not too often. And then once most people generally get to their practicum experience, we rarely see that. You know, by the time that they get to the end of the program, they've gone through the coursework, they've had opportunities to real play, they've been well trained and well prepared, they are ready to go out, and actually work with clients and help families in the community.
You mentioned the third cohort is in the program now. How many students altogether between the three cohorts?
Yep. So right now we have six students, and we have exactly six students in each cohort. So a total of 18 students right now.
Mm-hmm. So that gives you some more. How much more capacity do you have? Is six of the limits you can hold at this point?
Oh no, not at all. Oh. We're hoping to continue to expand as our name continues to get out there, and as more people become aware of our program. But it is a relatively new program, so we're still getting our name out there. But we're very excited about it. I'm very happy to be here. Been here just for a little over a year now, and very excited to be involved with this program because it is a very rigorous, excellent curriculum and program, and students are very well trained, very well qualified before they, you know, start meeting with clients.
Let me give our listeners another chance to share some thoughts with you. We're talking to Dr. Kevin Garrett, Assistant Professor and Clinical Director of the Marriage and Family Therapy Program at the Oregon Institute of Technology, OIT, in Klamath Falls. We are talking about the Medical Family Therapy Program, which is relatively recent. You can join us on the exchange at 800-838-3760 by phone. Our email address is jx@jeffnet.org. So while the training is going on, are you also working on trying to expand places where people will end up located across the landscape? Are you trying to make sure that people do end up getting placed in rural areas?
Absolutely, most definitely. So as the clinical director, that's one thing that I've been working on since I started here was establishing practicum sites in the community. We also have some sites that are close to being ready. Maybe they just didn't have the resources at the time to be able to have a student there. Or just didn't have the bandwidth to do that at the time. But absolutely, each year I'm hoping that we can continue to add several sites to our approved list so that students can continue to have more options of where to work. But it's worked out very well, and you know, people in the community are very excited about it. Agencies in the community are very excited about this opportunity, especially because of the fact that, again, this is an underserved area. It's a shortage area where more healthcare professionals, especially mental health professionals, are needed.
How tricky, though, to establish practices in rural parts of rural parts of anywhere, really, Kevin? I mean, because if people don't seek help up front, it's going to take a while to get that muscle exercised in the community, and then you run the potential for having somebody sit in an office waiting a long time between seeing clients.
Sure. And Jeff, could you repeat that question for me?
Well, the point was, as you're trying to establish practices for medical family therapy people across the landscape, mm-hmm. you know, potentially in rural areas that are underserved, I mean, how do you make it attractive to the community and attractive to the person? Because there's a chance they're going to spend some time a little bored, honestly, waiting between people as the practice develops.
Sure. So luckily, where we've put students right now, these are existing sites that have been around for a while, so the students aren't having to wait to have clients. Many of these sites already have clientele coming in, consumers coming in, patients coming in, you know, where they've already been being seen at a site, or it's a location where many clients are already being seen. So, these are existing agencies here in our community. So students aren't having to wait around before they start meeting with anyone. That makes sense.
Well, it does, but I guess then is there also the hope to establish more centers around the landscape to go to places where there just aren't enough providers?
Well, at this point, probably don't have the bandwidth to do that, but I'm hoping to do that in the future, absolutely. And that's a great question, though. And sometimes that can happen, especially if a clinician is just starting out in private practice. You know, oftentimes it can take about 2 years before you can really start getting a caseload, before you start getting clients into your business. But that is something in the future that I'm hoping to work on, absolutely.
And now for all of us to consider, because we've talked about suicide actually a number of times over the course of this calendar year and before, and we've pretty well established that nobody should be afraid to talk about suicide. You're not going to make somebody commit suicide by bringing up the subject. So would you lay out a few steps that people should do if they think somebody is thinking about hurting themselves?
Absolutely. Yeah, that's a great question. I think the biggest thing is to approach it from a place of love. You know, talking to a loved one about suicide can be one of the hardest things you can do. But I know when I worked in community mental health prior to working in academia, you know, one of the things that I would often tell parents, especially if it was parents of a teen or of a child who they were really concerned about, but they were really reluctant to place that child in an inpatient unit, for example, because they were concerned about their child's safety, is, you know, and it sounds harsh, but I'd said, I'd rather have your child be mad at you, or I'd rather have your family member be mad at you than to be dead. And that's something that can't be refuted. So it is really important that you come out of it, you know, that you come from a place of love and that you express your concern for this person. If you're absolutely concerned about this person, they're not opening up to you, I would talk with your healthcare professional, whether it was your doctor or if you yourself are meeting with a counselor or a mental health professional. I would encourage you to talk with them about it and your concerns. If you're absolutely concerned because of the way that someone's acting or someone's threatening to take their life, it's important for you to call the police, call your local law enforcement, take that person to the emergency room, or you can always call the National Suicide Prevention Helpline.
800-273-8255. Have it right in front of me. 800-273-8255. Kevin Garrett at OIT, thanks for joining us today on The Exchange.
Thank you, Jeff. Appreciate the opportunity.